will be our reading for right now as we continue looking at some of the practical portions of this great book. Usually when we think of Hebrews, we think of the doctrine, but there are a number of passages that concern duty, and wherever you read in the Bible, you'll find both. You'll find duty and doctrine together. You'll find creed and conduct together. You'll find that what we believe determines how we behave. And so all the wonderful truths in the book of Hebrews lead us to a consistent Christian life. And we'd like to see what is said here to us in chapter number 12. Verse number 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer, if we might. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I realize that you promised to bless your word. Lord, it will not return void. Lord, you did not promise to bless my comments upon the word, and I'm aware of that. But Lord, I thank you just for the reading of your word. And I'm well aware that the most important things that are to be said in this service have already been said. Just the reading of the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. May it mean to us what you want it to mean to us. May it be more than words on a page 2,000 years old. May it be what God wants to say to our hearts in this hour, Lord, at this critical time. And we just thank you for the privilege to come together like this for religious freedom. And we pray, Lord, for every request represented. Lord, we thank you that you are a prayer-answering God. We say with the psalmist, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Save the lost and help our families. And Lord, stir us and bless us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for praying with us, and I'd like to speak for a few moments from this text on the subject, time to lift up. If you'll notice in verse number 12, it talks about lifting up. And there are some things that need to be lifted up in our hearts and in our lives in this hour. I think as we study for just a few moments tonight, you'll see very clearly a recipe for revival. And God's people have always needed revival. And not just in our generation, but down through the generations. Especially when God's people become a little bit lax or discouraged or persecuted, then God's people need to be stirred a little bit. And these Christians here, these Hebrews, these Jewish Christians have been strongly opposed, mistreated, persecuted, and they're fainting, they're weary. Some of them are giving up and going back even for various reasons. And they need to be then revived, recharged. They need to be renewed. And that's the purpose of the book of Hebrews. If you ever find yourself needing a personal revival, then I encourage you to read the book of Hebrews, and thank God it can happen if you'll do what it says in these chapters. They need a fresh touch. They need a fresh obedience. They need a fresh vision, as we all sometimes do. Well, again, this text says, wherefore lift up. Lift up the hands and the feeble knees. And we want to think along those lines, if we may, this evening for a little bit. I love this book. I've always thought of it mainly, of course, and from the doctrinal sense. There's no book in the Bible that presents Jesus higher, more glorious than the book of Hebrews. The God-man, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, Not just the one who saved us and is Lord, but the one who is our priest now and forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the coming King who will sit upon the holy hill of Zion and will rule and reign forevermore. The book of Hebrews exalts Christ. And of course the whole Bible exalts Christ. And that's why everybody who loves Jesus loves the Bible. Because it's the book from Him and the book about Him, isn't it? If you don't have enough Jesus in your life, read the Bible. It's full of Jesus. And it will present Jesus to you. So the practical admonition of Hebrews is to these Christians, cheer up. You may be persecuted, but you're still saved. You're on the right road. And remember how they treated Jesus. He says that in the same chapter. If you ever think you're having a tough time, just stop for 5 minutes and ask yourself, how did they treat Jesus? His own family rejected him. His own city tried to drive him off the cliff. His own nation crucified him. And you're probably not having it that hard. So look at Jesus. Cheer up. Take heart. Press on. It won't be very long. The first thing then is to lift up your hands and get to work. That's what these Christians need to do. They're just sitting around feeling sorry for themselves. Like Elijah having a pity party under the juniper tree. And Elijah was so depressed, he said, Lord, take my life. I'm the only one. And you know, God took him home in a whirlwind and he hadn't died yet. Sometimes we pray foolish prayers and do foolish things, don't we? When we're distressed. And wore out. Elijah was wore out. He had run plumb out of the whole country. And so we need to be careful not to make decisions when we're drained physically and emotionally and especially spiritually. So these Christians need to quit looking at themselves and they need to look around them and get busy serving other people. They need to lift up their hands, literally, and get busy helping the lonely and the sick and the distressed and whoever had a need. You know, that's the answer, is to forget ourselves and to be occupied, as the Bible says, in good works. It is ordained that we walk in good works, Ephesians 2:10. We don't work to get saved, but we sure do work because we are saved. And that's one way you know you're saved, is you want to help somebody, amen? You can't just look on with indifference at the need of a brother or a sister. And it's high time for these Christians to lift up their hands and help carry somebody else's load. The Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. It says, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. So if you ever find yourself low, then find somebody else that's a little lower than you are and lift them up. And you know what will happen? You'll forget how low you were. And when you help somebody out of the hole they're in, you'll find a place to bury your own troubles for just a little while. I'll never forget Ralph Sexton Jr. saying, if you ever find yourself at the lowest spot in your whole entire Christian life, he said, here's what you do. Think of somebody that just lost a loved one. He said, they're lower than you are. You go help them. You go spend a little time with them. That's what he said. You go spend a little time with them and you'll forget and you'll realize you had a magnifying glass on your trouble. Probably so. We're good at making something big out of something little. Aren't we pretty good at that? We can make a molehill into a mountain. Well, the Bible says lift up your hands. Lift up those hands that are hanging down. And if you're looking for opportunity, you'll find it. You'll find it.
You'll find, in fact, everybody that you know is either saved or lost. If they're lost, they need you to witness to them. If they're saved, that's your brother, your sister, and they need your love, prayers, and example. So you're obligated to every person in the whole wide world. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. Amen. Think about it. We're surrounded by opportunities. You say, I can't preach, I can't sing. Well, maybe you can write a letter, send a text, say hello, pray a prayer. Maybe you can bake some peanut butter cookies. Go home and read Matthew 25, where Jesus tells us all the things we can do to help somebody. If you find yourself like these Hebrews, then lift up your hands and get to work. Amen. Number two, they need to lift up their voices and pray. They need to pray. It's always the right time to pray, isn't it? We don't pray enough. Our whole life should be a prayer. Our whole life should be just listen to God all the time and letting the Lord lay requests on our hearts and presenting them back to Him. That's praying in the Holy Ghost, by the way, when God gives you what to pray for. Amen. Think about that. When was the last time God gave you what to pray for? So we need to lift up our voices and to pray. The Bible says many times we don't have, we don't ask, or we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things. Sometimes our praying is almost like Christian kindergarten, isn't it? We're not really praying for things we ought to be praying for. We ought to be praying for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Thy kingdom come, even so come, Lord Jesus. We ought to be praying for the lost. We ought to be praying for them by name. We ought to be praying for missionaries. Amen. We ought to be praying for our leaders. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2. Look at your prayer list sometime and ask yourself how spiritual it is. Amen. How spiritual it is. It's all right to pray if you've got a minor thing. If you got something going on, that's fine. If you got a headache, then pray about your headache. That's fine. But can I remind you that there's 6 billion people outside that door going to hell that need your prayers and your witness as well. Amen. Sometimes we need to lift up our voices in prayer. Call unto me, I'll answer thee, and show the great and mighty things. Look at those prayer promises. I just gave you one, Jeremiah 33:3. Those are checks. Sign them, endorse them, present them to the bank of heaven. Say, God, you said this, and I'm taking you at your word. I'm standing on the promises of God. We sing that song. We ain't got a bit more idea what we're singing than a man in the moon many times. That means I went to the Bible. I saw a promise. I believe that a faithful God will honor that promise. I put my name in it. I went to God with it, presented it to Him, and I'm trusting God to honor His word. That's standing on a promise. Amen. That's what prayer is, isn't it? And don't claim something if God didn't say it. You cannot go to God and say, God, you promised to heal me. Because God never promised to heal you. Amen. No, He didn't. He may heal you, but He didn't promise it. So don't get yourself mixed up there. If you thought God promised to heal you and you didn't get healed, you'd think God was telling a lie, wouldn't you? God promised you grace. He may heal you, He may not. You know that already. But we need to lift up our voices and pray and believe that prayer avails much. Something else, they needed to lift up their voices and not just pray, but they need to lift up their voice and thank God for the prayers He'd already answered. Lift up their voices in praise to God and thanksgiving to God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. As He'll say later on in the next chapter, offer that sacrifice of praise. Folks, God did not ask you to come to church tonight with a little lamb to be slain by the priest like they did in the Old Testament. He said for you to bring your sacrifice of praise. Amen. It should be in our hearts at all times, 100 times a day. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been good to me, Lord. I ought to be in hell, but I'm saved. And on my journey home, I'm 24 hours closer to heaven than it was this time yesterday. I know that's elementary, but I like that. We're going somewhere, thank God. And if you're saved, you are somebody. Going somewhere. Don't be silent. Praise God at all times. That's right. Why should God bless you anymore? Until you thank Him for what He's already done. Especially if you live in America and you have a Bible and a church and a Christian family and friends and a measure of health and food on your table, you're supremely blessed. And you ought to lift up your voice. And I've got to where I tell the Lord now every day, several times a day, you're a good master. Amen. You're a good master. Ever since I came across that verse in Exodus 25 years ago that says, I can't get over that. Maybe I'm not supposed to. Did you ever come across that verse? I love my master. I love my master. Amen. Did you know the life of an animal depends upon its owner? Do you know that? Did you know, and especially in the Bible, it's talking about sheep and shepherd. Did you know a good shepherd can protect his sheep, lead his sheep, feed his sheep, and make the life of that animal comfortable and livable? On the other hand, he can make the life of that beast absolutely miserable? Well, I'll tell you, when we were living for the devil, there wasn't much joy in that. But since I changed masters, I'm enjoying being one of his sheep. Amen. The Lord's my shepherd, and that's all I want, the little girl said. And we ought to lift up our voices every day and thank God for every blessing and praise Him for who He is and practice for heaven. And we, so many times, I'm afraid, the rocks have to praise God in our place because we won't do it. Time to lift up our voices and praise God because we're saved, most of all. That never changes. Don't get caught up in circumstances because, you know, sometimes you're going to be in a traffic jam and it's hard to thank God for the traffic jam, isn't it? But if you're saved 24 hours a day, you can rejoice. And didn't Jesus say that? He said, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, Luke 10:20. Don't make your rejoicing your victory or your failure, because today you might be on top of the demons and tomorrow you might just fall, Luke 10:20. But if you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. And you praise God for that all the time. These Christians here, they've let the devil steal away their shout, their gladness, their joy, their gratitude. They've become silent. The Bible says, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my lips. Let me hurry. They need to lift up their eyes, number three, and see the unsaved multitude. It was Jesus Christ who said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, he said. They're white already unto harvest. Didn't he say that in John 4? And he's talking about people. He's talking about all those Samaritans coming out of the town. He called them a harvest field. He said they need to get saved right now. When was the last time we lifted up our eyes and saw the lost? When? When was the last time you were soul conscious and said, you know what, that fellow's going to hell. If I don't do something about it and stand in his way and pray for him and get other people to pray for him. You see, we can have our own little pity party, or we can lift up our hands and get to work, lift up our voices and pray, lift up our voices and thank God for what He's done, and lift up our eyes and see a lost world. That's Jesus now, John 4. Lift up your eyes. It's so easy to get preoccupied, isn't it? And not see. Some of these Hebrews here, they need to get back in church. They needed to get a fresh burden for their lost family and their friends. And remember, you got to carry a burden and you got to sow the seed. or nobody's going to get saved. You don't have a harvest if you don't sow. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Psalm 126, verse 6. J. Harold Smith was a heathen. Out every night, doing terrible things. His sister got a burden for him. She invited him to church. He wouldn't go. She prayed for him. She said, "Brother, you are breaking my heart. You are breaking my heart." She went in her room and she prayed for him. She prayed for hours, 5, 10 hours. He always had breakfast with her and her husband, Jerry Harold Smith. He came in for breakfast that morning. And the brother-in-law said, "Your sister's been in that room praying all night for you. You have broken her heart with your wicked ways. And she fixed breakfast for you, but it'd have to be me today. She's not coming out." That broke his heart. That was the day J. Harold Smith got saved as a young man and was on the radio with the gospel for the next 60 plus years. Did you ever hear J. Harold Smith preached all over this country? And he'd tell you, it's because of my sister. My sister got a burden for me. My sister. You can do that. Maybe you can't reach millions or thousands or hundreds, but maybe one. Brother Roel Fox used to challenge us to reach one. One. Surely, you say, "I'm so scared." Well, ask God to give you a little boldness. Ask God to give you a little compassion. Ask God to give you a little burden. Surely, folks, did you forget? Did you forget? It used to be you that was the lost sinner. Lift up your eyes and see. And just keep this tucked away, that if you can't go to the mission field, you're obligated to send somebody in your place. Amen. Matthew 28. Amen. That's right. Because we're debtor to the whole world, Romans 1:14, and we're to pray for laborers, Matthew 9:38, and the High Commission is to teach all nations, and then baptize them, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Folks, that's going to keep us busy. You just get a lost world on your heart. And always be talking to men about God and talking to God about men and lifting up your hands and lifting up your voice and lifting up your eyes, and you won't have time to do the devil's work. Amen. You'll be too busy doing the Lord's work to do the devil's work. That's exactly right. That's right. So pray and give and go. And God loves it when we give. Philippians 4:17-18. So I'm done. I think that's quite a little recipe for revival. I say that put the average, careless, indifferent, depressed Christian back on the firing line. Getting busy for the Lord. Thinking of other Christians. Thinking of the lost. And praying and praising God. And investing time, talents, and treasures. Looking for opportunities. Did you ever start your day like this? "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I'm reporting for duty today. Lord, help me to cross the path of somebody that needs help today. And help me to respond in love. Lord, don't let me be a silent Christian. Don't let me be a stumbling block or a hindrance, oh God. Don't let anybody stumble over me." Amen. That's what the text says. That's exactly what it says. "Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way." That means somebody's following you. And if you fall, they'll fall over you. Everybody needs a good example, don't they? You say, "But they don't deserve it." You don't do for people because they deserve it. If we did it on that basis, then we wouldn't be doing much, would we? By the way, God does not bless you because you deserve it either. And just remember, everybody you know is a sinner. And sure, they're weak and frail, but so are we. That's right. You say, everybody I know is in constant need of mercy. Well, be sure and put yourself in there too. Because you, yourself, the super duper you that I'm talking about tonight, you are in constant need of God's mercy. So don't judge anybody too harshly or too unkindly, because we're all the same. Christianity is love in action. Christianity is recovering the fallen. Christianity is being a lifter. A lifter. A man wrote a letter. A Christian man wrote a very harsh letter. He was going to send it to another Christian brother who had injured him. Not physically, but mentally. He wrote it. He sealed it. He stamped it. He took it to the mailbox, but he couldn't mail it. Because when he saw those words, "lift up," on the big mailbox, the Holy Ghost smote his heart and said, "That letter you're sending, is that going to lift up that brother, or is that going to pull him down?" He couldn't mail it. He ripped it up. He threw it away. Folks, we ain't got no business doing stuff unless it lifts people up. Do I have to amen myself? Amen. Lift up. Before you do anything, just stop for 5 seconds and ask yourself, is this lifting up? Turn the thing around every now and then and ask, would you want that to be done to you? Would you want that to be said to you? What if you were the receiver instead of the giver? Folks, people have enough on their plate already. Let's lighten the load, not add to the load. Let's lighten the load. It's time to lift up some things, isn't it? God help us to do it. Thank you for listening tonight. The service is over, but it's just really beginning, isn't it? As we leave here, it's just beginning.